Good morning. This has been an unusual time of singing when you could sing that way and all of the people coming in a little bit late. So that's a different thing. In fact, you got to feel like what it's like to sit on the front row back there, didn't you? Back to normal now. The projector not working, of course. The things that I have with my message, the insert, I'm going to try to let you know where to fill it in and so forth. I have to keep that in mind. But we just got back. Of course, we were here last week for Brian's message, and it was so good, and so many of you mentioned to me and to Brian how much that was something that they needed to hear, and how encouraging that was. So I am so glad that Brian was able to do that, and he will continue to give me encouragement and help in questions that I have for him. And then, as I mentioned, we were at our family reunion back in Washington State over on the Olympic Peninsula, and where there was no phone service and no internet service. And I mean, it was like going back into the good old days. But we had a good time with 35 of our family. There were 10 that couldn't be there. Just so happened that we put it at the same time that a VBS that one of the families was involved in. Several of the older kids were teaching, and of course the younger kids were in the VBS. So we really missed them, but we had a great time. And I've been going through the 700 pictures that I took. I couldn't believe I took that many pictures, and trying to narrow it down to under 100 so I could post them on Facebook. For the family, they keep bugging me and they say, when are we going to see those pictures? But if you've been to family reunions this summer, you know how wonderful that time can be. And maybe you haven't had a family reunion, but you know of somebody who is, and you can just show up. There was a taxi that was heading to Midway Airport. And a passenger in the taxi leaned over to ask the driver a question. And she gently tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. And the driver screamed. He lost control of his cab. He almost hit a bus. He drove up over the curb and stopped just short of a plate glass window. For a few moments, all was silent in the cab. And then the shaking driver said, "Ma'am, are you okay? I'm so sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, No, I'm the one who is sorry. It's entirely my fault. You see, today is the first day of driving a cab. I've been driving a hearse for 25 years. Corrie Ten Boom tells of a time when in the German internment camp at Ravensbrück during World War II, she had smuggled her Bible and a small bottle of liquid vitamins with her when she was taken to the barracks. Her sister Betsy was sick, and she was growing sicker by the day. Corrie wanted to, of course, give her vitamins from that little bottle, and Betsy demanded that Corrie first give a dose of vitamins to all the other sick people in the barracks before she would take any. Corrie said that a strange thing was happening. The divitamin bottle was continuing to produce drops. It seemed scarcely possible, so small a bottle and so many doses every day. And Corey wrote this. She said, in addition to Betsy, a dozen others on our pier were taking it. My instinct was always to hoard it. Betsy was growing so very weak, but the others were ill as well. It was hard to say no to eyes that burned with fever, hands that shook with chill. I tried to save it for the very weakest, but even those soon numbered 15, 20, and 25. And still, every time I tilted the little bottle, one drop came out at the tip of the glass stopper. It just couldn't be. I held it up to the light, trying to see how much was left, but the brown glass was too thick to see through. There was a woman in the Bible, Betsy said, whose oil jar was never empty. She was the poor widow of Zarephath who gave Elijah a room in her home. The jar of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of the oil fail, according to the words of God which he spoke by Elijah. Wonderful things happen all through the Bible. It was one thing to believe that such things were possible years ago, another to have it happen now to us, this very day, and yet it happened this day, and the next, and the next, and the next, until an awestruck little group of spectators stood around watching the drops fall into the daily rations of bread. Many nights I lay awake in the shower of straw dust from the mattress above, trying to fathom the marvel of supply lavished upon us. Maybe, I whispered to Betsy, only a molecule or two really gets through that little pinhole. And then in the air it expands. I heard her soft laughter in the dark. Don't be too hard to explain it, Corey. Just accept it as a surprise from a father who loves you. James Boyce wrote years ago, it is almost commonplace to observe that the system often seems to help those who need it least, while it is hardest on the destitute. We speak of this economically when we say that the rich get richer while the poor get poorer. The well-educated often get better educations. Those on the treadmill of unemployment and relief often sink deeper and deeper into the welfare morass. In one sense, some people even apply the principle in the area of faith when they say, wrongly, of course, but they say that God helps those who help themselves. So deeply is this ingrained in people's minds that they try to tell me that the statement, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. Actually, that is not in the Bible at all. One of the great principles of God's word is that God, the Almighty, helps the helpless. He helps the helpless. The gospel is for everyone. What that means is it's for us, all of us, who are willing to admit that we, in fact, cannot help ourselves spiritually. The offer of salvation is never earned. It is only for us who admit that we cannot help ourselves. Dear Father, as we look to your word right now, we pray that you will help us to understand that you are desiring to help us, that we are helpless to help ourselves. We can never earn your grace. We can never earn salvation. But you are desiring to give it to us out of your grace and your love. Help us to see this, dear Father, and to apply it to ourselves this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. I'm sorry it will not be on the screen this morning, but John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. It's a time like this that I wish there were Bibles in the pews, but I'm afraid that there's not. We read here, beginning at verse 1, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in his condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "duh." No, he didn't say that. But he says, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." The first person to get in was the one who got healed. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day in which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who may be well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went ahead and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is, first of all, a question of desire. In verses 3 and 5 and 6, we read, "Here the pool of Bethesda, that is, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, 'Would you like to get well?'" The pool of Bethesda was a great blessing that God provided for the people there. In verse 4 in the New King James Version, we read, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Here was a man who had an unknown future. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. Can you imagine? 38 years. But you know, infirmity can be an attention grabber. Some people relish the fact that people notice them, and even though it's something that's very negative in their lives, they relish that fact. It's kind of like the man who was in a circus and he wasn't able to find a job anywhere else. And so the job that they gave him in the circus was to go behind the elephants with a shovel. You know what he did. And there was a man who was in the crowd, and he was a businessman, and he saw this man and how diligent he was and going behind the animals and taking care of the problem. And so after the circus was over, he went up to the man and he said, "Sir, I just noticed how well you work. Said, would you consider coming to work for me?" And the man said, and give up show business? Infirmity can be an excuse also for dependence on others. It can be an excuse for dependence upon others. And infirmity was what he was used to. The status quo for him was a matter of safety. In some ways, he didn't have to provide for himself. Others would provide for it. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people that are homeless. And there are some places that try to provide for the homeless. But you know, there are some homeless people who absolutely refuse to be provided for. They won't live in a place that was made for them. In fact, in the area that I come from, in the Seattle area, there's places, there's whole camps that have been set up for homeless people. There are buildings that have been built for homeless people. And yet so many of them will go and they will live under the freeway during the rainy season. I mean, the temperature's in the 30s and rainy and it's cold. They could be someplace where it's a bit warmer, and they're not. They don't care. They don't want it. Their status quo provides them some safety. Leon Morris wrote this. He said, "One reason why some people have nothing to do with Christ is that they do not wish to be disturbed out of their comfortable, self-centered ways." There are some things we can't even imagine that putting up with, and yet there are some people that are so used to the way in which they are. One has written, "To choose to be a Christ follower introduces us to a life that none who have experienced it ever want to lose. But there is a price. To enter this life of following Christ means leaving the old one." And there's many people who don't want to leave the old one. So it's a question of desire. Do you desire to be healed? Secondly, it's a question of obedience. In verse 7, we read, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. First of all, it's a distorted feeling, verse 7. John Calvin wrote this. He said, "This sick man does what we nearly all do. He limits God's help to his own ideas and does not dare promise himself more than he conceives in his own mind." Isn't that what we do sometimes? We think that the way it is now is the way I want it to be because it's comfortable for me and nothing more is expected from me. I've done that. Have you? Look at this. The petition was denied, the normal petition there of the water being stirred and the man being helped into the pool. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't help him. He denied it. He ignored the pool. He ignored the request of helping him into the pool so he could be healed in the way that people were being healed through that. But he told him what he wanted him to do. The procedure was commanded. He said, first of all, get up. Now, this man might have been unable to get up at all. He needed someone to help him. And yet Jesus told him to get up. And he said, pick up your mat, your bed. and walk. The man could have said, this is impossible. I can't do this. Jesus gave him three theretofore impossible commands. So what did the man do? Say, I can't do that. No way. It's not going to happen. No. He responded submissively. It was a submissive response. In verse 9, what would have happened if he had argued with Jesus? When Jesus was calling his disciples, there were those who used excuses to delay following him. Do you notice that every time someone gave him an excuse, he never once tried to talk them out of their excuses? I wonder about us when we do that. We sense God leading us to do something, and we just throw out these excuses. You think he's going to stay there and try to talk us into it? He didn't before. And then there were many who left him. He had a large following of people, but after time started getting harder, they started leaving him. There's not one indication that he chased after any of them. And then there were others who requested to follow him, but only on their own terms. For instance, there was the rich young ruler. Jesus turned these people away. It was on his request basis, not on their desires. And I think that's something that we need to take very seriously. When God is leading us to do something, we need to do it. If the crippled man had argued, I suppose Jesus would have just walked away. Later on, Jesus found him. Verse 14 says, later on he found him at the temple and he said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse might happen to you. Jesus didn't go into any of the details of what that might mean. Sin may have been the cause of his infirmity. We don't know. We have no idea what it was that caused him to become crippled and paralyzed. It may have been as simple as something, an amount of bitterness in his spirit. My brother just died 2 weeks ago. I hadn't seen my brother in about 4 years or been able to contact him in any way. He had PTSD, had been a veteran, and as a result of bitterness in his life, he had left his wife and his children and gone out to live with other women. He wouldn't let anybody contact him. His wife and his kids and his one daughter lived in the same town that he was in, but he never let them contact him as a result of the bitterness that he held on to in his life. Bitterness is a poison. It's a poison that will destroy your life. And if you have any bitterness in your life right now, get rid of it. Ask God to help you with it. Someone has said that bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person will die. How stupid is that? And yet so many of us do that. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Abusing God's blessings may bring a curse to us. Whatever it is that he convicts us of, that he says, you need to repent of that, and you need to turn to me, and let me help you with that. And then it was became a question of motives with the religious leaders of the day. We read in the second part of verse 9. And the day in which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" What did these guys see? Here's a man who had been crippled for 38 years. What did they see? They didn't see anything except this is the Sabbath day. And according to our man-made rules and regulations, and they were, you can't take up your mat and walk. Jesus was giving them a test too. And the bait was in verse 9, the healing on the Sabbath. And the bite was in verse 10, the miracle was ignored because man-made rules, religious rules, distort perception. Man-made religious rules distort perception. I grew up in a wonderful family, and parents who loved the Lord and served the Lord, and yet they had grown up in a situation where there were all kinds of rules and regulations that had nothing to do with what the Bible taught, that were tacked on to the teachings of the Bible. My brothers, both of my brothers, would have nothing to do after a while with following Christ. They did for a little bit of time, but these rules began to penetrate. And so many of my cousins would not follow after the Lord because of this rule-bound religion that has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. And that's something we need to be very, very careful about. We need to place our faith in what God has taught us in His Word and be very, very solid on that, but not to allow man-made rules and regulations to infect us. Dr. Harry Ironside tells of when he was serving a church in San Francisco. Now, you may have heard of Harry Ironside. He was the pastor of Moody Church for several years there in Chicago. But when he was early in the ministry, he was a young pastor on the staff of a church in San Francisco. And he took the Sunday school children to the beach on Washington's birthday. And as he did this, he found the beach was covered with wreckage of all sorts of kinds. No one knew where it had come from. At first, he thought, this just looks so strange. I've been down to this beach many times, and I've never seen anything like this. And then he found out that it had come from an ocean liner, the Rio de Janeiro, which was sailing from China to San Francisco and approaching its destination in San Francisco Harbor. Through thick fog the night before, it hit a large rock and it broke apart. Hundreds of people were drowned in the accident, although some of them escaped. The newspaper told the story of one of them, a young man who had both of his legs broken. He floated on debris for hours. And finally, that utterly helpless fella that could not help himself was drawn out of the water by a rescue party. We see in this story a picture of God's grace to us sinners. There were some strong and hardy folk who floated on debris for hours before they were picked up, others who drowned. But this young fella who, because of his two broken legs, had no ability to swim, he was helpless, and yet he was saved. Jesus told us in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. James Boyce wrote this. He said, he came to find you. Will you argue that you are not helpless, that you are not blind, lame, or paralyzed? If you will argue with God's verdict upon your inept spiritual capabilities, you will not be saved. And Boyce goes on to say, we are all spiritual paralytics. We cannot help ourselves. And yet it was for us that Jesus Christ died. The very fact that I am able to accept that I am an ungodly man by nature, and therefore I'm completely unable to go up to God by my own efforts, then I know that Christ will meet me and will bring spiritual healing and new life to all who will place their trust in Him. If you want to place your trust in Christ today, I encourage you to pray this. Jesus, I believe in you, and I want to receive your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for loving me enough to die for me. Come into my life and be my Lord to lead me from here on out. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And dear Father, I pray for any of who have prayed that prayer this morning, who realize that they are totally incapable of converting themselves, that they are totally incapable of earning your grace and your forgiveness, that only you can give that to them, that they, dear Father, will know beyond any doubt that asking you to forgive them and to come into their lives, that you have done that. And that you are theirs and they are yours. Thank you, dear Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.